I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Do you care? Do you care? It's actually a two-part question. Do you care, and can the Lord trust you? You know, we talk a lot about trusting the Lord. Can the Lord trust you to care for those entrusted to you? Or, you know, do you just shrug off your sin against those that that you're called to tend to as no big deal? Because it is a big deal. But shrugging off sin, that's what we tend to do when we're full of ourselves instead of God's love. You know? A couple weeks ago, we talked about how bad waiters, remember the bad waiter? I love that picture. The bad waiters make others wait on them, uncaringly craving to be served rather than to serve. But I'm going to give you a little scripture stack, and I just love these scriptures that are coming up, because do you know why? I guess maybe I've just never asked myself this question, why Jesus is called the chief shepherd? Why is Jesus called the chief shepherd? Because he shepherds his junior shepherds, like Peter, who then urges us to shepherd the flock of God, which is among you. How? Oh, by serving as examples to the flock. And then you do that. Then when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive that crown of glory that we all would give everything for. Which means in the meantime, we must be submissive to one another, because we're all shepherds, junior shepherds. And we must be clothed with humility. It takes a lot of humility to submit to one another. But beware of false prophets, right? Bad hearts who come to you in sheep's clothing. But underneath, ravenous wolves. You got to be discerning. Listen to Jesus now, because I think we apply something to Jesus that really should be applied to you. He says, he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, not a true, junior shepherd, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep because he's a hired hand, just in it for what he can get out of it. Like some are with the faith, and really cares nothing for the sheep. But they didn't understand this one, so let's really listen. But he who enters, the one who enters by the door is a shepherd. See, now this figure of speech, Jesus spoke to them, but they didn't understand it. So Jesus said, I am the door. In this analogy, I'm the door, right? And if anyone enters through me, the door, then they'll be saved and become a shepherd. Because all who enter are shepherds, he says. And will go in to be saved, and out, well, to lead, and find pasture to feed. And the sheep follow him. See, this is the verse I think we apply to Jesus wrongly. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. That's you. That's your junior apprentice shepherds. He then goes on to say, I'm the good shepherd. Another way of translating that is I'm the better shepherd. I'm the best shepherd. I'm the shepherd of shepherds. Because you see, the good shepherd is the chief shepherd of us junior shepherds of God's flock. We enter into a relationship with him, through him, right? And then we're sent out by him to lead and feed those among us who know us and don't fear us and follow us as we follow Jesus. That's how it works. For example, Paul said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. We're all called to be junior shepherds, which means y'all need to keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So don't abandon sheep. That's sad, sorry. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. And now, as we've seen a couple weeks ago when we talked about this parable, the chief shepherds, junior shepherds, you got the chief shepherd, the junior shepherd, that is all reflected in Jesus' story, this parable of the master's junior master. Okay, it's like the chief shepherd's junior shepherd. This story had the master's junior master who was left in charge, and he falls asleep, remember? When he's supposed to keep his fellow servants awake and eagerly waiting and watching for their true master to return to serve them wedding feast food. If you were here 2 weeks ago, remember that. And when we read it, we ended with Jesus' warning to that junior master that fell asleep. If the junior master of the master's house had known what hour the thief would come, well, then he would have watched. He would have stayed awake and watched. So why not for the master? And then he says, so be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And we saw that he comes like a thief. He's not a thief, but he comes like a thief, and that he comes to give and to take. And that's where we ended. But it's not where the story ends. It's just where Peter interrupts. Because Peter, right there, Peter asked, Lord, hold on. Are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? I'm a bit confused here. Because see, if you recall, it was a huge flock of bad sheep trampling each other. Remember, self-serving sheep trampling on each other like sheep without a shepherd. They were all there listening. And then Jesus turned and talked to his disciples. So now Peter wants to know, is this for us or for everybody? And the Lord answered in classic frustrating fashion with a question. Who then is the faithful and wise, albeit sleepy? So now we know that sleepy manager is faithful and wise. That's interesting. That's a new twist. Who then is the faithful and wise, albeit sleepy, manager or junior master, whom the chief master, the big guy, puts in charge of his servants for when he comes to give them their food allowance, that wedding feast food he's bringing, at the proper time? Remember, in the story, that meant keeping them waiting and watching for their good chief master and generous friend. It said, till even the second or third watch, which is 3 a.m., right? That's why I fell asleep. It's just too late. So here's Jesus. Peter says, so who is this to exactly? And Jesus says, you tell me, Pete. Who is this faithful and wise, albeit sleepy, junior master? Because in real life, spoiler alert, it's going to be Peter. It's going to be Pete. That's who Jesus puts in charge. But 2,000 years later, what I want to know here and now is, how about you? How about me? What are you doing to keep your sheep awake and alert and eagerly waiting or preparing to open up to our one-of-a-kind master, savior, father, and friend? Your flock, of course, being your family and friends and all who wander into your field of vision. And don't you be saying in your heart, but I'm just a little lamb. I'm a little lamb myself. I'm not ready. Oh, okay. Well, then maybe you're off the hook. Have you done foolish things? Yes. Oh, yeah. Weak things? Yes. Lowly things? Yes, that's me. Well, oops, you're back on the hook, because God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. And he chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things. Yeah, but I'm still not ready. Yeah. And the things that are not, to nullify the things that are. And here's why: so that no one may boast before him. You're exactly who he's looking for. You're on the hook. Jesus continues this story saying to Peter, blessed is that servant, that junior master servant, you know, the one in charge of keeping the others waiting to eat till the proper time, whom his master, the chief master, will find so doing when he comes. When he comes to what? To serve his servants. Truly I say to you, Pete, because that's who he's talking to. Truly I say to you, Pete, that he will make him ruler over all that he has. Which Jesus does when he comes to the shore toward the end of that story. The gospel is there, right? Returning after he rose from the dead to eat with his sheep and to ask Peter point blank three times if he truly loves him. Most of us kind of know that story, but I want to tell you the in-between parts where Jesus says, well then, Jesus said to Peter, feed my lambs. See, Jesus had told the 72, I send you out as lambs among wolves. And Jesus said to Peter, take care of my sheep. Because he had also said, I have other sheep, not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. And then lastly, Jesus said to Peter, feed my sheep. Because Jesus had told the 12, I send you out as sheep among wolves. He puts him in charge of everything he has. But you see now, on that day where Jesus is telling this parable, Peter isn't the only apostle hearing this junior master story with that big old crowd that day. Because there is a Judas in the flock. And Jesus comes like a thief, but old Judas, he was a thief. He was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to take from it. And you know why? Because his master's money was actually his master. Because that's what he most cared about. So Jesus now turns, the story turns right here. He goes, okay, enough of that sleepy, wise, faithful guy. But suppose, Judas, but suppose the servant, the junior master servant says to himself, oh, my master's taking a long time in coming. And he then begins to beat the men servants and maid servants. And wait, what? Why? What in this story leads you to understand that? Why is he beating the women? Why is he beating his fellow servants? Well, apparently, if we're going to keep this within the context of the parable, there were some who were faithful and wanted to wait. Well, the junior master, he wanted to eat and drink and get drunk. And Matthew adds to this. He quotes that same line, but he adds, get drunk with drunkards. So he's getting some of those servants who are drinking with him. Those would be the fellow servants who are ready to party. So this guy, you have to see this, he abuses the faithful and leads the vulnerable astray. That's how he's leading. Therefore, you know, Jesus don't cotton to a junior master or a junior shepherd beating on the faithful. He says, so the master of that servant, that junior master servant, will later come on a day when he does not expect him. At an hour he is not aware of, and he'll catch him abusing the faithful and abusing his authority, and he will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. Yay, that's good news. However, that servant who, you know, follows him, you know, the ones under him, who knows his chief master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his chief master wants, will be beaten with many blows for following a bad junior shepherd when he knew better. But here's the thing, even the one who does not know better and follows along and does things deserving punishment will be beaten, but with few blows. Point is, everyone takes a beating from the leading of a self-serving junior shepherd. And from everyone who has been given much authority. See, this is the summation of this parable, so we have to take from the parable. From everyone who has been given much authority, much wisdom and faithfulness will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, those the chief loves so much, much more will be asked. And I was thinking about this beating. It doesn't say who beats them. And in the end, I'll bet we'll beat ourselves up when we realize how we failed the infinite, intimate love of our faithful Creator, Father, and Friend. This is a parable. This is a parable, so it won't be an actual beating, I'll bet. But it will be actual suffering. You know? And I'm reminded the third time that Peter disowned and denied Christ publicly, remember the rooster crowed? Oh my goodness. And in that moment, right then the rooster crowed and the Lord was being led out and he turned and looked straight at Peter. And then Peter went outside and wept bitterly. And just 3 days later, when Peter had to face Jesus again, what do you think Pete would have given to be able to go back and take a beating instead of what he cock-a-doodle did? I think at that point, you want to face Jesus now and, look him in the eyes again? Or would you rather go back and just take a beating? Somebody please just beat me. And we know he beat himself up. So the good news is we aren't really beaten, probably. Bad news is we'll likely wish we were. You ever know someone who threw a party at their parents' house in their parents' absence against their parents' instructions? Ever been that person yourself? Well, you need to keep watch over yourself, okay? Or you could end up like the self-serving junior master who in the end, he really went to pieces. Because he was cut in pieces. Because we're in our Father's house, and you may not be aware exactly how big his house is. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world, and all who live in it. So we better be devoted to one another, serving the Lord, which can't be forced or manufactured, and please Jesus. Because the chief doesn't want us junior shepherding out of guilt or fear or even obligation. He says, no. It's got to overflow from a heart that's full of appreciation. Because in the end, you see, self-centered, self-serving will reveal itself as the curse it really is. And so I just love that this turns out that Peter is the real life, faithful and wise, sleepy junior master whom Jesus puts in charge over all he has. But is anyone caught off guard more than Peter, other than Judas? No. In fact, just to put a fine point on it, the night before the crucifixion, Jesus specifically asked Peter, James, and John to wait for him and to watch with him, right? And then returns to find them sleeping three times. And yet he only singles out Peter. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch? And he again found them sleeping. And then the third time, he said, listen close. The hour has come. And just as he was speaking, the hour has come, Judas, the thief, appeared. It was just the night before that. Just the night before that, Jesus had repeated this parable to those three. And Andrew was there too, I think. He repeated it to them privately, with a little addition, saying, if the master, the junior master of the chief master's house, had known what hour the thief would come. This is the night before. He would have watched. So be ready for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And then here's what Mark throws in. In the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest he find you sleeping. This is 1 year after he told the other, told it before. And 1 year after Peter asked who he was talking to, Jesus now says, and what I say to you, I say to all, watch, watch. You know, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer. And yet, oh, poor Peter, he fails Jesus so soon, the next night. And in so many ways. You know, Jesus called Judas a demon. I've chosen you 12, one of you is a demon. But he called Peter Satan. So what's the big difference between Judas and Peter? Well, I'll tell you, it's all in the failing. It is all in how you fail. At the Last Supper, Jesus says to Peter, famous lines, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon. Here's what he prayed for. That your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But old Peter replied, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. And Jesus famously answered, oh, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you'll deny three times you even know me. But here's the most incredible point. Listen to what he said. You see, our faith doesn't fail when we fail. Not even when we fail Jesus. From time to time, we all do dumb stuff. And we do unloving things to those we most love. However, our faith only fails if we fail to turn back and undo them. Let's read that together. Our faith only fails if we fail to turn back and undo them. Peter's behavior, like the faithful and wise but sleepy manager, was often off the mark, but never his heart. Whereas, you know, Judas went out and hung himself, right? It was Judas's insincere, arrogant, self-serving heart that prevented him from repenting. If he had repented, he would have been forgiven. And in the end, it brought him down by stringing him up, because the wicked are brought down by their own wickedness. We don't need anyone else to beat us up. And his own counsel shall cast him down. Judas just didn't have the relationship to fall back on like Peter, who literally fell back on Jesus at the Last Supper to ask him who's going to betray him. And it was only after the fact that Judas, the Lord's insincere junior shepherd and self-serving money manager, realized what a curse his self-serving success, because he was successful, actually was. But I have a question, and this just puts a smile on my face. Why do you suppose the Lord chose to indelibly link Peter's failure to that rooster crowing? Well, think about it. In just 3 days from that moment, in 3 days, Jesus is going to come back and appear. And then 40 days later, he's going to put Peter in charge. He's going to make Pete his junior master, and that puffs up the pride. So what could be better than a wake-up call, literally, every day, to remind Peter to stay humble and true and to keep watch over himself and all those flocking to him? You know, every morning Peter's woken up and it's like, oh, right. I think God's got a sense of humor, and I just think that is one of the most incredible ways to keep Peter humble. You know why Jesus emptied himself, taking the form of a servant? Because you can't be a servant if you're full of yourself. So let's take it from Jesus and shepherd all those whom he chose to graze on his grace in our field of vision. And for that, oh, we need to pray. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and worship you and vow to serve you by serving others. So Holy Spirit, inspire us and empower us to watch over all those you've entrusted to us. And Lord Jesus, you are our chief shepherd. We thank you and praise you for choosing us and using us in spite of us. We love you, Lord. Everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.